Friends. That's the topic today. We're going to talk about friends some. You know, we're always supposed to spiritually discern who we fellowship with. But never judge. Okay. You can discern a friend, but you can never judge a friend. Right? Leave that up to the Father. And through your discernment, you have that built in. If you really love the Lord, you have that point that you intuitively know. This is an honest person. This is a person that follows the Lord. I can trust this person until they should give me reason to believe otherwise. And there you go. That's called spiritual discernment. Now, I'm going to set the example up here, if I could, is old Job. Okay. You know, a lot of people do not go back to the Word itself to base Christianity on. Where else are you going to base it? You can't base it on the world. It's got to be on this Word. So, we are told by Almighty God in the first two chapters of Job that Job was perfect just about. I mean, he was blessed of God, and God had his shield over him where Satan couldn't bother him. Just as you do today, if you're a real Christian, you have that shield of our Father over you, and he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. You may leave him, but he's not going to leave you. Okay. And therefore, Job, knowing this, and Satan comes up to the Father, as you would read in one of his travels to the throne, in chapter 1, verse 6 of the great book of Job, and he says, God told him, what do you think about my son down there, Job? What do you think about my boy? Satan said, shoot, all right, but you've got a wall around him where I can't even touch him. I can't tempt him the way I want to. If you would remove that wall, I can have him eating out of my hand tomorrow, or just right away. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I've got enough confidence in Job that I'll remove that wall and you can have everything but his life. And boy, Satan took it. Took his children, took all of his holdings, his cattle, and basically his land, and covered him with sores from head to foot. Okay. And finally his own wife said, why don't you just lay down and die? Okay, you're so miserable. Job never stopped loving God. He never stopped. He did not know what had happened. And of course, we do. We know what happened. God removed the veil away from Job so Satan could have his way with him, but only not take his life. Now, the ultimate lesson in this for you is how important it is to have God's hand and wall around you. You look at Job, you see what will happen to you if you don't. You know, a lot of Christians think, my world just came apart. Well, what did you let it for? Okay. He gave you power over all your enemies. What have you been doing? Okay. You need to take charge. You need to be a can-do type Christian here. Okay. But Job would never give up. But do you know what happened? This is where friends come in. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 4. I mean, poor old Job, everybody's kind of turned on him, and here comes his buddies, okay? Friends. Now, I want you to analyze these friends a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 1, the great book of Job. And Job, the very word itself means probation, if you would, and men are persecuted, and boy, was he. When God removed that shield. Chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads, then Eliphaz, the Temanite, answered and said, his friends coming over to help him. Now, first thing you want to do is discern this. Okay. First of all, what does Eliphaz mean? It means, my strength is God. Hey, that's okay, that's one up. You know. But what is this Temanite business? Well, Teman means south. And basically, you can rest assured, anybody that comes from Teman is a child of Esau. Okay, is out of the family of Esau. And that's all right, okay, if he's a Christian, if he's following God's way. But at the same time, it should put you just a little bit on edge to say, hey, I need to discern this real close. Because he wasn't born in the Word, he came into the Word if he's going to advise me. So, okay, there's one point there, and that's how you want to discern. Okay. Again, not judging. Yeah, that's a no-no. Verse 2. If we, this is Temanite states, if we say to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved, but who can withhold himself from speaking? You might be hurt by what we're going to tell you. And that's what he comes right out the gate saying. I mean, that's a good friend, you know. I'm going to upset you, but you I'm going to say it. I'm going to lay it right on you. Well, telling someone the straight truth is okay, you know. Even if it does hurt a little bit, that's fine, okay. But he forewarns him. Verse 3, behold, you look here. Thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak of hands. Job, you have helped so many people. You've talked to them, counseled them. You've really done some good. Okay. You've taken those weak hands of a bunch of wimps and made them really be men and women of God. Verse 4, thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Job, you're some kind of a man. And Job had done this. Everybody came to Job with their troubles, and Job kind of took care of business, okay? Until God removed that veil, that wall. Verse 5. But now, here comes the but, okay? But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. You've turned into a regular wimp here, Job. All that stuff that was hitting them has hit you now. And boy, you're folding on us. Well, now that's kind of a false statement. Because Job never folded. Job always trusted God. He knew he had done nothing against God. He knew there had to be a reason for it somewhere. But he never folded. He never turned his back on God. Verse 6, is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Haven't you kind of given up on your religion? Haven't you kind of, you know, you were fearing God, and man, I mean, you were a man of God. You really marched right to the tomb, and everything fell in place for you. What have you done? Verse 7, remember, I pray thee, whomever perished being innocent. Uh-oh. Or where were the righteous cut off? What he's saying here, what have you done, Job? God never punishes the innocent, and he never punishes the righteous, so that means you're a scoundrel. What have you done? What has brought all this on your head? Now, you and I know what brought it on his head. It was God loving his son, saying he can cut it. Okay. And you know, that's what he expects out of his elect in these end times. He doesn't want a bunch of wimps that are going to turn up their heels the first time a little opposition comes along. He loves you and he trusts you. He knows you're a can-do type person. So naturally, the Temanite, the first, that means south, down southern. He had a southern accent. That's not true. Okay. Not true. But he did come from the south of that area, which was the land of Edom, which means Esau. But he knew, you've done something wrong, Job. Why don't you just fess up here? So, now, what kind of friend is that? Okay. That's not much help when someone starts making accusations. Okay. Now, the main thing you want to remember, this continues for 38 chapters of Ratchet Jaws. Good friends. Okay. But there's something wrong with Job, and they're going to find out what it is. Why don't you just level out and tell us what you've done? He hadn't done anything evil. Hadn't done anything against God. And that's a truth. He stuck with the word. Okay. Verse 8. Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. But by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of his nostrils are they consumed. And so it is, you know. But, see, that's if somebody's guilty about something. Job wasn't guilty about anything. Job hadn't done anything. God wasn't angry at Job. God was very proud of Job at this time. And so it was. Now turn over with me right to the end of the book, chapter 48. I'm sorry, you better stop at 42. The reason you want to stop at 42, there ain't no 48. Chapter 42, let's just pick it up here if we may with verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord. Let me just lay a little groundwork. What happened back in the 38th chapter? Finally, God come along and he said, Job, get up off the ground. He was down praying. He said, get up off the ground. Girt yourself up. That means be ready to fight. He said, where were you when I placed this earth in the positions it's in and put each star in heaven, the children, you know? He said, here you're wondering what's going on. You should look at me. You know? And Job did. He said, oh, Lord, close my mouth. You know, I see what's happened here. And Job repented, of course, and that's what happened. Now we close it out. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from you. Nobody can hide anything from you, Father. You even know our minds, okay? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. What about Satan and the others that were ratchet-jawing with him? He didn't know a whole lot that was going on, but he knew God was honest. He knew God would do him right. Don't ever let anybody put anything in your mind that you think God would harm you or harm anyone. He always takes care of the righteous. He always takes care of those that do right. Unfortunately, we that try to do righteous sometimes mess up. And boy, does he gets the paddle out and just kiss the paddle and say, thank you. And get on back about your business. Okay. Verse 4. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. This is real. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in the dust and ashes, and of not trusting totally, which he did. He really had nothing to repent over. Verse 7, listen carefully. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, remember him, God is my strength. That was his name. Did you trust him? Well, see what God says about him. And the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. All you did was put out a bunch of malarkey. So religious. So, I mean, you know, goody-goody two-shoes. Just really shooting arrows in the dark here, trying to figure out what's wrong with my man Job. Missed the mark totally. Beware of ratchet jaws. Beware of studying with people. Beware of listening to people that claim to be your friend. And they teach some word other than God's word. That is to say, they add to, take away from, puff up. But mainly they teach about themselves. Okay. You don't need that. If it isn't written in God's word, it's not true, most likely. It sure didn't come from God. So, God's angry at this old boy. Therefore, take unto you now seven bullocks, seven rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves. Well, anyway, he does. Do you know what Job is still doing in verse 10? He's praying for those guys. You see, so don't judge people. He said, Lord, you know, they meant well. They meant well, but they were absolutely wrong. Okay. So you have to learn a lesson from that, my friends. You're living in the generation of the fig tree. There's not too much slack to be wrong, especially when God has embedded in your mind that if it isn't written in this book, you better be careful. Somebody's pulling your leg. Okay. And that's what happened to poor old Job. 38 chapters of God did this and God did that. And you know, preachers will preach sermons from that. Even when at the end, it's God tells them, I'm angry at you. They'll still preach sermons that this is what Elisabeth said. It was wrong. Okay. So, you don't have to be even the brightest bulb in the drawer to kind of read the word as simple as it's put forth and know when somebody's ratchet jawing you, okay? Well, stick with God's word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and you're not going to go wrong. Turn with me now to the great book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8. I want you to know what happened in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You know, God gave a prophecy. He said a virgin's going to conceive. She's going to have a man-child, and that man-child is going to be, you're going to name him Emmanuel, which is to say, being interpreted, God with you. So, in that 7th chapter, he promises us the Savior. Okay. So, we're going to pick it up in the 8th chapter. And we're going to pick it up, if we may, in the 8th verse. I want you to know the prophecy that God is bringing forth here so that you can fix the time. The Assyrian is coming down, and he's going to take a lot of prisoners. His government is going to deceive a lot of people. That was only a type of a government that would deceive people even in the end times. Okay. So you want to pay attention. And it has to do when the Antichrist himself sits in Jerusalem with his one world system. It prepares and comes forward for it. Watch your friends, my friend. Discern. Watch. Analyze. Assay. Do you know what an assayer does when he really tests something? He puts the fire to it. And he cooks away the slag and lets the pure stuff stay right there. So when you're analyzing God's, what someone's a friend tells you about God's Word that you're not familiar with, you assay it. You cook it. You analyze it. You do some homework. It's not a generation to be deceived in. So, this is what's happening. God is saying, there's a few of you listening to me, which is symbolic of God's elect. I want to say something to you about this one coming down from the north. Chapter 8, let's pick it up with verse 8 on that subject. The Assyrian is coming. Okay, that's one of Antichrist's names, as it's written in Isaiah chapter 14, if we were to go there and study, and we're not. Okay. And he shall pass through Judah, going to take him, run right through. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. That's the weak spot, my friend. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breath of the land, O Emmanuel. Have you got Emmanuel with you? That's God with you. If you do, you don't have anything to worry about. He's got that shield around you where Satan can't take you over. You're too intelligent for that. You're wiser than the serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Verse 9. Associate yourselves, O you people, and you shall be broken in pieces. And give ear, all ye of far countries, and gird yourself. That means you be ready for action. And ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Twice for emphasis. In other words, it's going to happen. Regardless of what you do, one worldism is going to become a reality. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Now, have I taught you well? Do you understand what was said there? God is with us. I'll prompt you a little bit. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Do you understand Emmanuel? Is that wall around you? Of course it is. And you're sticking with the word. You're not trusting some friend that tells you, oh, it's a wonderful system that's coming down the pike here. You want to get in on it. Verse 11, for the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, I mean, God put this forth in the strongest terms. I mean, in the Hebrew, it's very emphatic. Okay. Don't walk with that people. Talking about one worldism and leading to the false Messiah. Say ye not a confederacy, that's one worldism. To all them to whom this people shall say, a confederacy, one worldism. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Don't panic. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Who's in charge? God is. And He's with you. Why would you sweat? Why would you worry? He's telling you it's going to happen. Don't panic. Keep it in your lane. Okay. Do God's work. Verse 13, sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself. You stay true. Let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. That's all you have to, I mean, dread it if He wasn't with you. Then you would have something to worry about, okay? And so it is. And verse 14, listen carefully, very important. And He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin, and for a, that's a trap, and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Why? Well, how ever could Emmanuel, God with us, be a stumbling block, a stone? He's the chief cornerstone. But there's one coming before Him that claims to be the chief cornerstone. And you go for Him, and that true stone will fall on you. Okay? Don't be deceived. Watch your friends. Watch what you study. Watch what you believe in this generation. For the enemy's coming. He didn't say maybe false Christ is coming. He's coming. Okay? Make sure who you listen to. By aligning them with this Word of God, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, so that you're not deceived. Verse 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Be taken what? Have you ever read Matthew 24, the first one taken from the field? And you've heard a lot of preachers say, oh, praise God, I want to be the first taken. Well, they're taken by the Antichrist. Well, we have ignorance running amok in this world today in the simplicity, concerning the simplicity in which Christ taught. You stay true to God and let Antichrist go lie to shuck somewhere, okay? You don't have anything to do with him. You discern your friends. Antichrist is not your friend. Christ is. Verse 16, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. Where do I seal that at? Revelation 7, in your forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain. Absorb it. What are the seals? The seals tell you what's going to happen at the trunks and the vials, where nothing is hidden from you. if you would sword it, and you should have, seal it right in your mind. Bind it up. 17. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. You can count on him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Haste, speed, a child's name is mentioned here, and it has to do with teaching here in this book of Isaiah. But be that as it may, it's going to happen. Stay true to the true Father. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that hath familiar spirits. Do you know what that is? That's an evil spirit. Okay. That's the spirit of Antichrist. And unto wizards that peep. That's where your sorcerers peep to call down spirits after they've had a little shot of heroin, okay, or some drug. That's what a sorcerer does. It's pharmacia in the Greek. It means one that uses drugs to get on a high. Okay. That mutter, because that's all they can do. Should not a people seek unto their God? Isn't that simple question? That's who you want to seek for, not some idiot, not some ratchet jaw. Seek him, Emmanuel, God with us, for the living to the dead. In other words, why would you go to a person that's dead and ask how to live? Why would you go to somebody that has a familiar spirit and ask how to be successful? They're dead spiritually, and you would be too. Okay. Well, how can I have eternal life? Stick with the Father. It's that simple. Very, very simple. Simply to stay in the Word. Let, you know, God is your counselor. And these words is what he counsels you with. Know your friends in this end generation. That is very, very important. Don't go to someone that is spiritually dead and ask them how to be successful. Discern your friends. Verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, when somebody comes along and tells you, you know, right away, a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, the King James is a wonderful thing, but you need to read my little book. Okay. My little book that'll take you into deeper studies of God's Word. Oh, you know, it's not in this book. So somebody's lying to you. And if you listen to them, you can be had. This word means exactly that. This word. Not some other word. And when you listen to it, and when you understand it, then you're not going to be deceived. No one's going to lead you astray. So, again, if it doesn't, and it is not according to this word, sharpen up for me. Have a little discernment. Somebody's messing with you. Verse 21, and they shall pass through it hardly bestead. I mean, there's going to be hard times. And hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves. They're going to end up being broke, out of work, no jobs. Their economy busted right out the middle, and people actually hungry. Then what are they going to do? And curse their king and their God and look upward. Finally, they'll wake up and come around that they drifted away from God and look up to whom, from whom blessings float. Hey, you're living in it, my friend. You want to be alert. You're living in, I mean, some of the most exciting times there has been from the beginning. The generation of the fig tree. How exciting. Verse 22, and they shall look unto the earth, and behold, trouble and darkness, dimness and anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness. If you listen, you're not going to be. Why? Emmanuel, God is with us. This is not a time to follow them. That's why God said, you come out of them. Don't be there. Discern. Know your friends. You know. Now, this does not mean, you know, I want to make a clarification. This does not mean that you're to turn somebody off that's a non-believer. That's why you were sent to this world, is to plant seeds and show people truth. But don't let them sway you away from the Word of God. Okay? You've got to be a little stronger than that. Well, how strong can you be? Stay in the Word and you'll be strong. For even that person of Esau, that child of Esau, his name is God is my strength. Well, he is yours. Okay? And as it is written in Psalms 144, God is my strength. He teaches me to war. He teaches me how to put the enemy under my feet. He gives you that. It's there for the taking and for you believing. And so it is. We're going to go now to the minor prophets, okay? Next to the last book in the Old Testament, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 8. We're sticking with 8s here today. Verse 1. And again the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. That's his favorite spot in the world. You understand that? That's where he's going to establish his kingdom. And our father is jealous. Why? They go whoring after some false god? Naturally he's jealous. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned into Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth at that time, and the mountain, that holy mountain Zion, of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. It will come to pass. Okay. That's his favorite spot. In Ezekiel chapter 16, God made an eternal covenant with this geographical location. Okay. People, well, I wonder where heaven's going to be. Well, read your Bible. Read the Word of God. Ezekiel 16 declares it along with Revelation 21. Verse 4, thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for a very age. Do you know what this means? Well, let's read the next verse and we'll put them both together. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. That only means, it's a Hebraism that means it's peaceful there. It's peaceful enough that an old man and an old woman can sit on their front porch and be safe. Okay. Not any killing, not any rockets. And even little children could play right out in the middle of the street. No zoom zoom boys. Okay. It's going to really be a safe place. That's all it means, because you know that in spiritual bodies, we're all the same age. Okay. Verse 6. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. If it pleases you, it sure pleases me. That's good to know, friend. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. He's got that wall around us, beloved. You've got nothing to fear but fear itself. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. In truth, in righteousness. That, many might say, well, I thought this had already come to pass. Oh, there's a lot of war going on there. Not peace. So you need to wake up and understand the final generation. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. We're talking about the many-membered body of Christ. And that building is being built. And it shall stand. It is not a building of brick and mortar. It's of people that know and understand truth and stand against the enemy, people that God can use. Verse 10, for before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I said, all men, everyone against his neighbor. War, war, war. Fight, fight, fight. They cry, peace, peace, peace. Talk peace, but there is no peace. That's leading up to, this is not the beautiful time he's talking about. Got it? But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heaven shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. There will be plenty. It's coming. Why I'm covering this, I want you to know it's worth waiting for. He loves you. He's with you now. He has that protection for you. But you have to call on his name and use it. Okay? You have got to take names and kick dragon. You got to stand up. Okay? And it shall come to pass that if you were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and you shall be a blessing. Fear not, and let your hands be strong. That's what you want to do. Don't let your heart be weak. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, boy, I wouldn't change, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. You got nothing to worry about. Listen carefully. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. That's the way you want it, okay? And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And boy, does he. He doesn't approve of it. Our Father loves his children, and our Father leads his children. Do you know something? He knows the straits that we're in today. That's why in the book of Judges, as well as other places, he told us, don't you ever borrow money as a nation. Do you hear me? Don't ever borrow money as a nation. You know why? You're supposed to trust him and work it out. I'll provide for you. I'll pour you out a cup where your blessings will run over. Oh no, let's run over and borrow from some communist nation and bring socialism into this country. That's not trusting God. You've got to trust our Father. Even if the nation doesn't, you do. You do trust him. He's not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. We have the victory. I've read the back of the book. Okay, I've studied it. I know. And he's willing to bless and bless big. Okay, if you just stay in the Word. In conclusion, go with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. I'm going to pick it up with verse 17. Listen carefully. Let me lay a little groundwork. He's picked out a group of 70, that's 35 pairs, and sent them out. And they come back and they're marvelous. I mean, everything turned right into the good in their hand because they were doing what? Well, let's read 17 and find out. Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Don't you ever forget that. You have no power whatsoever, basically, against an evil spirit or a familiar spirit, unless you use the name Emmanuel, God with us, unless you use Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Okay. Then that is spiritual must bow to you, that is to say to that name. This is the promise of God. And you've got, of all times in history, you need to learn to use this. The disciples, which means students, simply set an example for you. Listen to what Christ said then concerning that, okay? Because he gives you a real good forewarning. Verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Meaning, Michael's going to kick him out. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 declares it, okay? He's coming as the false Christ. Oh, goodness gracious, let's run hide. That's not his instructions. What are his instructions then? Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power, that's dunamis, dynamite, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do using what? His name. You've got to do it in his name. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what you want to rejoice about. Why, you've got eternal life. You're serving him. But don't ever forget to exercise that power. It's there for you in using his name. And when you use that name, it brings forth the power of God, and he protects his own. If you have the faith, for we don't see him, we walk by faith, not by sight. But if you have served him and you've utilized the power, you know where it comes from, and you don't have to wait for it. It's there when you need it. That's his promise to you. So watch your friends. Don't judge them, because you were sent here to help them. But don't buddy-buddy or yoke yourself up with somebody that is non-truth that pulls you down instead of builds you up. Okay, you're supposed to work the other way. You're supposed to build them up. That's why when you plant a seed, if it doesn't grow, don't mess with it. Not meant to be. Only God can make a seed grow. And that's why he sent you here. But he equipped you with power and authority, if you have the faith, to execute the promises of Almighty God right from his word. But you've got to stick with that word. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the gifts you give us. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you, Father, for the power. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for having that wall around each and every one of these, Father. Protect them. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua,